Ed McMahon. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
Good morning.
Bill Daly.
Good morning.
Mark Snyder.
Hi, Mark Snyder.
Long time no talk to.
Yeah, well, what's going on, man?
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, good gracious. Yeah, that was about 3 years when you're here. So.
Yeah.
3 years, yeah.
How are you?
Sensational. Just sensational.
I can't believe you're in Boston. I feel terrible that I didn't have you at the studio, but it was just too dirty for your appearance. But it's welcome to Boston.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Are we going on the air soon or when?
We're on right now.
Oh, cool. Oh, you just told me. There goes those. Wow, I'm glad I didn't do those two dark jokes.
I hope he is all combed and everything. So that now you're actually looking for like an expert on TV Land?
Yeah, we're looking. But I did 15 cities last year with the same thing. It was great. And it's a ball for me. It's like 15 vacations. But the show is dynamite because these people that, you know, we interview them about 10 o'clock. We're going to be at the North Shore Mall, and then I do a show. I do my typewriter number. We do a show at 12 and at 2 and 4. And these people know trivia. They know Major Healy's dog's cousin's aunt's names. I mean, it's just outrageous what they know. But it's just been, you know, it's been a ball because I love the town. So nice way to fly in here at a free vacation in Boston. So that's neat, you know.
How much stuff of this do you kind of remember yourself, like a trivia about I Dream of Genie?
Nothing. I never watched TV, never watched our show, never watched any sitcoms. I like watching sports. And in fact, until Nick at Night came along, my wife's an insomniac, and she started watching late at night. I start watching Taxi. I say, hey, that's funny. Then I watch Mary Tyler Moore. Those are all my friends. We all worked in the same studio, you know. And I said, that's pretty good. Watch Dick Van Dyke. So, you know, I said, wow. And I think those shows are really, not because I'm working for them, are better than the shows today. So, but I'm not a fan of sitcoms. I mean, you know, especially when I've done like 640 of them, you know, the format and nothing works for me today. I mean, none of the shows out there work. That sounds terrible. But I have offered a couple shows a year, and the writing is so bad. In fact, the reason I got out of business, I did a show that was so bad. How bad was it?
How bad was it?
It was like a bad love boat. It was called A Low Paradise with Debbie Reynolds in Hawaii making a fortune. And I thought, especially after Bob Newhart writing, I said, I'm out of here. Went to New Mexico and started directing and never went back. But
you did another show, too, Something and Something.
I did a show starting from scratch when it was pretty good for 2 years. That was a good show, but syndicated, they put it on, you know, like right up the religious sign-off. So it was like, I don't think anyone ever saw that. I keep busy, but and this is the ball. But the writing is just, the writing is tough. I mean, just I did. I was on this with the Caroline in the City, you know, and they read the script. The funniest thing I ever read, my part. Went out and did it, okay? Went out the next time, I okayed the script. I walk in there, the whole thing I okayed changed. And I said, well, what happened? I okayed this and it's different. And I swear to you, the guy actually said, well, your stand-in, someone got in the corner, read it, and it wasn't funny.
Oh, no.
And that was it. I said, okay, I'm going back to New Mexico. By the way, last night, I swear, I saw a guy downstairs, and we were talking. He didn't know who I was, and he said, where are you from? I said, I'm from New Mexico. And he looked at me a long time and said, shouldn't you be darker? I mean, no one knows where, and Albuquerque is right next to Howard Johnson's. You know, nobody knows what that is. That's in, my goodness. So,
how did you end up getting in the business anyway?
I was first, to make it really short and not too boring. Well, I'm boring anyway, but I started out as a jazz musician and a pretty good one. And then we started doing comedy, not funny hat comedy, you know, some really nifty stuff in New York, really, with Fletcher Peck and Red Roberts. We started doing, you know, more funny stuff. So when I came out of the service, and I hate to bore you with this, but I wanted to adopt kids, and they said, what are you, a musician? And they threw me out the door. So I went back to school, went to Goodman, became a directing major, walked in NBC at the right time. All these guys had 5 years of TV out of Northwestern, and nobody read music. The guy said, do you read music? I said, yeah, you're hired. I mean, that was it. And then once you're in the door, you know, I was doing a show called Club 60, and I start writing ideas. And one time, Janice James said, you do it. The typewriter number I still do that Jerry Lewis later did. Mm. And, you know, and Steve Allen saw me, and here I am talking to you. How about that? That was fast.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's over a 45-year span, of course. Yeah.
Right? Well, you know, many people have long careers in showbiz, and many people do TV shows, but how many folks have the chance to do two characters that endure for many, many years, like Roger Healy and Howard Borden did?
I don't know, but it's a great break for me, especially now that it's on TV Land and Nick at Night and all the jazz. No, it's really great. And I did a lot, actually, better shows than that, you know, but I did a show called Inside Out with Farrah Fawcett. I thought was a classic show with the greatest comedy ever written by two brilliant writers, but that was the year that it was a 6:30 show. They took all the 6:30 shows off and gave them back to the local stations, That left nothing. I mean, that's 21 shows, spot time slots that you don't have, but that was brilliant. And I did a lot of shows that were so bad. I did a show called Small and Fry at Disney.
Now, that's the one I was thinking of, and Fry.
Yeah, now dig this. We were at the lunchroom, which is the best lunchroom Disney and work, great place to work. We're sitting in the lunchroom, and Darren McGavin was the star, right? And they had a Darren McGavin sandwich. And on the third show, we noticed that the sandwich wasn't on the menu. And that's how we knew the show was canceled. I swear it. The sandwich was off. Pat McCormick, your great Pat McCormick, he said the way you should be, you know, show canceled should be at a football game and looking across, and they should hold up the signs, you know, you've been canceled, you know, 50,000 people. But that's what we found out, because the people know earlier. There was a show next to me. I forget what the name of the show. It lasted with Paul Sands. He played a bass in the symphony. I'm a bass player, original bass player. So I went over, and the guy told me, they know first everybody, all the guys that work the show, you know, technicians. And the guy says, the show has been canceled. I said, well, can I have the bass cover? Because they run about, you know, $300, and I'll pay for it. He said, no, you can have it. So he walks in, Paul, and he didn't know the show was canceled. I'm walking out with his bass cover. That's how he knew the show was canceled.
what a weird business, huh?
Yeah, but see, the people, they know first, you know, the hairdressers, and they're the people know immediately the show has been canceled. They know before the stars. So that's a whole, too bad.
It's interesting when you think about, like, Genie and Bewitched, two shows that weren't exactly critics' darlings, but have
lasted. Yeah, the critics hated them both.
Many years.
Us more. They thought we copied them.
Mm. Yeah, you guys were always competitors, as were the Addams Family and the Munsters. It's like,
yeah, well, we're the same studio. They were shot right next door to us. But I really think if you look at it, I think we're much different. I mean, Genie, the whole guy, two astronauts, you know, handling the Genie and that kind of humor and the way we worked. I thought Bewitched was a good show, but I thought ours was just as good. They panned us, thought we copied it. Mm-hmm. We didn't copy that. Come on. Genie, that thing has been done 80,000 billion times. I mean, give me a break.
Well, it's interesting, though. I mean, Genie, I always had that. Dr. Bellows was the guy that always looked like a fool on Genie.
Oh,
and the next-door neighbor, Gladys, always looked like a fool
right,
on Bewitched.
Right, right, right. Well, you need one of those. Bellows is the sweetest. Hayden Rourke was just what a class act he was. Man, that guy held it all together. He was. Said, I don't know how they put up with me, because I'd never done TV and I didn't know where to stand. I talk so fast. I'm dyslexic. I can't read. I don't know how. In fact, we did a show a couple months ago on Donnie Osmond, and I haven't seen Larry in 30 years. He was there. Sidney Sheldon, who's the famous writer now,
mm-hmm.
was there. Barbara Eden, and it was a wonderful hour. I was so glad to see him. And I asked Sidney, you know, Sidney, how did I get the job? First of all, I was like man in raincoat in the background. I had nothing to do with the show. It was about a general and his daughter. And I said, how did I get that? I mean, I don't know what I did. He said, I just saw something. And I said, I don't know. I fired everybody and put you in the third lead. So. It was weird.
Wow.
That's weird. And he also said something that was very interesting. They ask, everybody does that thing about the belly button, you know, not about showing your belly button.
Right.
And he said, that's not true at all. He said, what happened, we did a show with Laugh-In where they followed us. We used some of us went on Laugh-In, and Laugh-In people went on our show. And when she came down the stairs, he just had him saying, she's showing too much navel, pull that up again. And everybody rewrote the thing, she can't show her navel, and it got out of hand, and it went to the press. But that's all it was. It had nothing to do with the NBC saying she couldn't know it.
And Barbara,
I didn't know that.
Barbara still looks great, by the way, too.
Oh, she's great. Great lady. She just, we had the best time a couple. Man, but seeing Larry was great, because Larry is very unhappy during the latter part of the show. And you know, he's changed with that new liver. He's really, I mean, he's just grateful. He was just, he wouldn't want to do the show. He didn't want to talk about the show.
Right.
And he was warm, and he was the best, man. Nobody ever really realizes what the pivot man is in a comedy. He had the timing. He was brilliant to work with. But he had some problems during the end. I don't know what they were, but he just.
So you guys didn't even really talk to each other for 30 years?
No, I live in New Mexico. I mean, if I'm out there, I would have. Well, you know, he was rich anyway. Even when they were there, you know, it's hard enough just to meet your friends, but he's living in a Malibu colony. His mother's Mary Martin. He's got a, you know, $20 million place in Brazil, and he was in another crowd. I mean,
right.
I was not, you know, I was making $750 a week, and he was making $5,000, which was, you know, a lot then. Of course, that show today, we'd all be, you know, can you imagine making it at the top? He was making $5,000? Man.
I mean, you guys, as far as I know, you don't get anything for the syndication. Do you get anything right
no,
now?
No, not in Genie. Yeah. None. Nothing in Genie. But we get Newhart. I just got a nice check from Newhart. And Newhart's starting on TV Land. It's in the morning twice and the afternoon. I saw it all day long. So, and that's good writing.
Oh, yeah, that's a great show, too.
Yeah, nice writing.
Howard Borden was a fun character. Tell me a little bit about working with Bob Newhart.
Well, I hated working with him because he, first of all, he's a close friend from Chicago. We started out together. We'd write for each other. He's the nicest man that ever lived, but he's the worst person I ever worked with because he doesn't like to rehearse. And a lot of people have misquoted this thing. They didn't hear the rest of this story I'm telling you. See, he's a stand-up comic, and he's quick and smart and bright. I'm a dyslexic. He knows it right away, knows the scripts, and he doesn't like to rehearse. Now, Larry Hagman was not that night, but he loved best to work because he was an actor, and we'd work out things. You know, we'd work on some business, we'd work on stuff, and you go in with Newhart, you go in at 10 and then leave at 11. I mean, he just wanted to hear, but it works the best for him, you see.
Yeah.
And if it was my show, he would hate working with me because I'd be working out all kinds of physical stick and bits, and everybody, they always say, they just leave that. They say, I hate working with Bob Newhart. But they never get the rest of that in there. Bob Newhart, the best guy. He gives you the comic. He gives you everything. He's sweet. He's nice. He's talented. He's the best. But that style of working is a nightmare. I mean, just a nightmare. That character Howard was really terror. That was really, I didn't know my lines or where my spot was, where the mark was. So.
You know who else seemed like a very nice person is Suzanne Pleshette.
Oh, that she's my love. I mean, she is dirty and raunchy and beautiful and funny and witty, and she's every, no, she is just, I mean, I had lunch with her every day, like, for 7 years. Oh, God, she's just, oh, I mean, what can I say about her? She's just my love. I mean,
you know,
oh, my God.
It's interesting. When I was a little kid, I went to see Hollywood Squares, and afterwards the star schmoozed with the audience, and she came right over to me and gave me this huge hug and a kiss on my cheek. I'll never forget that.
Oh, my God, lucky you.
So I had a lot of action with
that.
So I probably had more action with her than you did then.
Oh, she's beautiful. Well, she was married and to a great Tommy. In fact, this is awful. I was on the air of some show in New York, I forgot the name of it, a couple weeks ago, and the guy said, what do you think about her husband? I said, what about her husband? When he died? I said, no, he didn't. He says, well, you're probably right. And after the show was over, he called me back. He says, yeah, he did die. And that's how I found out. And I haven't went called her yet because I don't know, trying to figure out how to handle what to say. But, you know, I live in New Mexico, and you're out of that business. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Tommy, you know, was close. We were so close in Newhart every Friday when with the rap. We'd all go to the same restaurant together and, you know, and talk about it. We're all very close.
Yeah.
Very. Jack Riley, Pat Whit. Because, see, that's a different, it's different than I Dream of Jeannie was one camera. And when they set up a thing for 2 hours, you'd be in your trailer, and some days you didn't work. But when you're in a live show, you rehearse it and sit around, talk, and do jokes, and then rehearse it again, talk, you know what I mean? So that's, we're all extremely close on Newhart.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had their own style of humor, their own, everybody had their own bit when they were on, and nobody got in the way of anybody. You know, that's very unusual.
What I thought was great was when he did the new Newhart show, and then he closed it out with that scene with Suzanne.
Yeah, that was his wife's idea, Jenny's idea.
What a great idea.
Yeah, well, he wanted to use all of us, but we were all busy. He wanted to make all of us walk in at the end. Also, he wanted to do that show with all of us. He wanted to use the same cast up in the lodge, but Suzanne Pleshette was busy doing a play in New York. But it wouldn't have been interesting.
That would have been cool, huh?
Yeah, it'd never been done, but what an idea, because he just loved us all.
That's interesting. You were talking earlier about TV nowadays, and besides Seinfeld and a couple of, like, Frasier, there are very few shows that are really well-written, and that's the reason I think that Nick at Night and TV Land have done so well, because you see these shows that stand up to time. They may be 30 years old, but they look like they were done today.
Well, also, and another thing that Larry said was interesting on the show when we did that, Donnie Marie, he said, the reason that what Genie holds up is because we're in uniform. you know, you can always tell, even Newhart, with the big collars, you know, and the big lapels and the white bell-bottom pants. I mean, the uniform's the same tie, it's the same outfit, the same everything for all 6 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a... But also, it's, everybody was... In those days... why I've turned down a lot of scripts now. In those days, we didn't play for that 16 to 24 audience. We just played good humor, and we didn't say, let's forget the old folks. Let's not do it for those people that don't go out and buy, you know, a lot of things. So let's just, you just do your best, and that's not the way it works today. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't get the jokes on there. I don't get, and I've gotten some things that are so mean-spirited, man. I just, and if I can't, I'm not that good of an actor. If I don't love it, and I can't make the joke work, you know. If it doesn't put that little bubble up in my head, then I'm out of there. I cannot deliver a line. Some of these lines today, I mean, I'm telling you, wow. Because I never liked sitcoms, so where am I going?
Now that you starred with Debbie Reynolds, did you keep in touch with her at all?
No, but I loved working with her. That show was so bad, I quit the business and went to New Mexico and started directing. No, I quit it. It was a bad love boat, you know.
Yeah.
That was just, but it wasn't her fault. What happened was, The show was sold before we did the pilot, and my part was it was so awful. It's like I've done a couple love boats, and they don't like you to be funny. They like you to just do it like it is and don't come up with any ideas. But this show, you know, why I was making a fortune, I couldn't stand it. I just quit and I got out. But what happened, Debbie? We got together. It was great to work. She hated the producers, hated the every exec. She was the worst worker. But the people, she was great that she worked with. She was brilliant. The coffee guy, the everybody around. She actress. She was just wonderful. And we got together. And we said, we got to do something about this script. Or we could. This is. And I loved her. So we said we went to the to Aaron Spelling and said, look, we got to have punch up these jokes. Let's bring in the Charles Brothers who wrote the Newhart and Taxi and Cheers. Let's bring, because they were out of work. Let's do that. And because this just, if you want to do a joke, let's just get Pam and let's do a joke. And he okayed it. He actually said, okay, we'll do it. The next week, the writers went on strike.
Oh, jeez.
So we were stuck with the bad. So we did, you know, we did like 13, 20 weeks of bad scripts.
That could have been a different result then.
Oh, yeah. She was great to work with. But you know, Spelling, he didn't want all that problem. He had the hour anyway. You know, if we dumped us, he had the hour and bringing somebody else in. He had that. And he just didn't want problems.
Yeah.
And she could have been problems, he thought, but she wasn't.
Hmm.
But she didn't understand TV, that the producer is your buddy, is the guy to get your coffee. She's from that old school, the producers are her enemy. And she didn't understand the makings, how TV worked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she was stuck, but not on us, not with the people she worked with. She was, I loved her. Hmm. I never, but socially, I always lived in New Mexico. I never was part of that. And when you move out of Hollywood, people punish you. I mean, they really hate you because they don't want to be there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they punish you. Nobody. I don't tell anybody. The jobs I've gotten in 1 minute. It's like, come on over. I just tell them I'm not anywhere. They call me, and I get on a plane. It takes about an hour and 40 minutes to get to L.A., and I'm in the meeting in the morning.
Yeah.
So, but they hate you when you're out of town. Oh, man, you move out. You're over.
Okay. Well, some of the folks have moved. I mean.
Well, if you're a superstar.
Yeah, like Bruce Willis, he lives out of town, right?
Pardon?
Doesn't Bruce
when you're a superstar, you can live anywhere you want. No, I'm talking about, you know, getting a job in TV when you're not known.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but you're known, though. You had two big hits.
Yeah, but they always want, you know, they had a part. What was it? It was a show on. I forgot what the name was. I won it, and I walked in. They said, we want a Bill Daly type. They want Bill Daly. I said, well, I'm a Bill Daly type. No, I mean, we want that kind of a character, you know. So, no, it doesn't work that way. You know?
So you're not a Bill Daly type then, huh?
Yeah, not a Bill Daly, especially today. I mean, you know the story they had on 60 Minutes about great writers of MASH, and all those brilliant writers can't send that in their resume, their bio, because the young they want somebody young. Remember that young girl said she was 21 and she got a contract with Disney, and they found out she was 31 and they fired her.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird. I mean, all the great writers cannot write. They want to hit that young audience, which is cool. But you know, I'm surprised they don't. It's hard to write a funny show.
You know, there's a lot
in a movie, it's much easier. You probably much easier to write, you know, like 20 minutes of car crashes than it is 20 minutes of intelligent dialogue.
Well, the problem is that there's so many cable stations, there's so many networks now, and the talent is just spread out so thin.
Yeah, even in the early days when we had three stations, you know, it's hard to write a good funny show. People forget in the 40s and 50s and 60s, the movies were, 90% of the movies were B movies written like crap, and there was only a few good writers, and they would write all year. You know, I don't know how these guys write. knew I'd write every week anyway and do that. You know, it's just too much. It's just impossible to do good writing.
So now you're here for next what, couple days?
Yeah, we're here. We're doing that. So what am I?
At the North Shore, North Shore Mall. You'll be there.
Yeah, North Shore Mall. We start it. We look at the folks around 10 o'clock, and people are so brilliant at trivia. And the show is dynamite. I mean, you got great MCs, and I do my act, and it's just, I'm having the best time of my life.
And
the winner goes to New York, and
okay.
That's cool, you know.
So New York is next.
And they get the... the winners get to go to New York of all the different 15 cities, and they get to program their favorite show for the whole year. They take mine because I need the residual money, and I get residuals on Newhart, which is cool.
Is this the last stop for you on this 15?
No, next we're doing some. Let me see what this.
Because this is a national show, so you might as well mention where else you're going to be.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we're in at Asbury. I don't know where this is. We're at the Freehold. That's a weird Freehold Raceway Mall in Asbury Park. That's New Jersey.
Okay.
Hey, we're a network? God, I should have said something clever.
Oh, you did. You're fine. So that's when is that going to be, the New Jersey?
That's next next Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, cool, man. Thanks for the press. That's great.
And then what after that?
That's it for me. Back to New Mexico and stare at my dogs. So, you know, and I certainly had a lot of dogs in my life. They didn't seem quite right, you know.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Wow. Bill, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully next time you're on a tour or next time you're around, maybe we can get together.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you, man. Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks for the call and thanks for the plug, okay?
You take care of yourself.
Okay, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.